So my brain doesn't timestamp anything, so I have no clue when something happened. But the other day, have you ever had those moments? You walk into a room, the TV's on, and you see a TV show that you're just not sure how that got onto TV. So I walk into a room someplace. I have no clue. It might have been a hotel room someplace because I don't have TV. And I see a show. I need to describe it. There's a lovely lady standing in the middle of the screen. She's talking a little bit. She's got this brown wavy hair, just like the warmest eyes. And when she talks, you can tell she's articulate, intelligent, but she's struggling with something. And that's when the camera kind of pulls back and you see the scene unfold. And this is the scene unfold that you think, a bit WTF, like how did this get on television? And this is safe for young ears. I see a couple young kids, it's not that issue. Because when they pull back, you realize this lady seems to be struggling. And this is in her words. She's struggling with her weight. She's significantly overweight. And that's her words, not mine. And this is the thing that's the most whacked, but I'm going to try and help you guys get past this. Because the whacked part is the part I don't want you to pay attention to. It's when it's underneath that. Because the curtain goes up in front of the woman. And in front of her is a line of women dressed in black of all different sizes. Women probably 50 pounds lighter. And then maybe up in increments all the way to 50 pounds heavier than her. Now, which executive sat down in a room someplace and thought this would be a good idea? I am not sure. This is taking objectification and all sorts of things to a whole new level. So please bear with me. I'm not in any way supporting this show. But something really mind-blowing happens. The lady's standing there and she's looking at this line of women and she's asked to go place herself where she thinks she fits in terms of weight. They're all lined up from lightest to heaviest. She's supposed to go and slot herself in. Essentially, this is a scale with no scale. She's got to be desperate to be willing to do this on national television. Because as she steps forward, you know, my heart, I'm not even into reality TV. I hate reality TV. But I'm just like, like, what is she thinking? What is she going to do? And you see just this, you know, these emotions flash over her face. Embarrassment, shame. Maybe there's a little bit of hope there. I don't know. I hope so. Sadness. And after a few seconds of hesitation, she walks forward. The group separates and she goes and stands where she thinks she fits. And immediately, everyone who's watching the show is going, she's not even close. My question is, how does that happen? Now, we're in the middle of a series on the book called Numbers. It's actually a rabbinic look on the book. Rabbinic meaning our Jewish ancestors, their scholars are called rabbis. So it's a rabbinic look at the book of Numbers. And Jeff started the first week by just playing with the title, Numbers. What does it mean to be numbered? What does it mean to be an individual? And he talked about us just being who we are, finding who we are, and being okay with who we are. Then he followed up the next week and said, okay, now you put a whole bunch of people who are themselves being just themselves, and you try and put them into a group. Hey, caramba. Things get tough, don't they? Last week I talked a little bit about this lie that we tell ourselves that says, I'm not happy right now, but there's something outside of me that if it just goes the way I need it to go, everything will be good and I'll be happy again. One of those lies that we all go, I don't believe that. Yeesh. But we're all thinking it, aren't we? Remember I told you about my dirt bike and how if I just switch something? Yeah, yesterday I was thinking the same thoughts again. Why do I keep thinking these things? Today I want to take it in a different direction. I want to talk about our value in a group, which takes us back to the woman. On national television, she's willing to put herself in a lineup of women from lightest to heaviest, to slot herself in, to show where her mental perception is of how much she weighs. So this is where I want to get you to. So please get past all the horrible television. This is an experiment in a woman saying, this is what I think I am in the world. And she's roughly 30 to 40 pounds heavier than she actually is. Think about that for a second. It's Mother's Day. So why don't I ask all you mothers, you're at parent-teacher, whatever, where all the parents get together and plan school stuff. I want you to now slot yourself in to where you think you are in terms of parenting skill against all the other parents. Any takers? Anyone? No? At work? How about that? Slot everyone at work, get them from the smartest to the least smart. Can I say that? And slot yourself in where you think, like, I am this intelligent. I'm right there. Or attractiveness. Go to the crucible of school, teachers, people who are in university. All the people lined up, and you have to publicly set yourself up and say, this is how attractive I think I am. That's what the woman did with her weight on national television. And she's completely off. How does it happen? Now, the story I want to tell you today comes from the book of Numbers. And to tell it, I got to back you up a little bit. Anyone heard of a guy named Abraham? Thanks. Perfect. Ooh, nice one back there. You don't all sit and study the Bible all week like I do, so that's fair. So let me give you a little bit of background. A bunch of years before the story we're going to tell, there's a guy named Abraham. And the story reads that him and God are having a conversation. And God says, I will bless you with a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey just means really good. Think if you live in a desert, milk is goats. Honey is bees. That means water. So, really awesome land, fertile, you can grow anything in it. That's what he's saying. In fact, that promise for the nation of Israel is still part of what's being fought in Israel today. That's why the land isn't just simple, like, well, hey, this is our land. Well, go over that land. No. This is the land. Like, the land God promised our people. Land. So Abraham gets this promise, land flowing with milk and honey. Fast forward, we already learned the nation of Israel was enslaved in Egypt. Crazy God moment, crazy God moment, crazy God moment. They're in the wilderness looking over the river of Jordan into what they call the promised land. So this is the land. Awkward problem. There's people living there. So if you want to talk or deal with that, Jeff's going to talk about that next week. What does it mean in terms of invasion? What does it mean in terms of the promised land? And all? Yeah, it's going to get crazy. I'll let Jeff deal with all that. It's going to be good. I heard his message, or parts of his message. It's solid. So they're standing at the Jordan. They're looking at the promised land. The story reads that God says, send spies from all your groups and go check it out. You know, check out, is it flowing with milk and honey? What are the people like? What are the cities like? How easy is it going to be to, I'm going to use the word partake as a euphemism. Partake in that land. So, send out these people, and they find an amazing land. In fact, they come back carrying a bushel of grapes that's so massive, it's taking two people to carry it. They put a stick through it, and they, like, you know, carry it between them like that. I think that constitutes milk, or land flowing with milk and honey, don't you? And if you've been in part of the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel, you've been living on bread. So to see fresh grapes, juicy, big, delicious wine-making grapes, tell me you wouldn't just be going, that's what I'm talking about. And the spies say, yeah, it's as good as you think. It's this good. It's incredible down there. But we met some people there. didn't meet them. We saw them. They're giants. Now, giants is a technical term for them. They would actually use the word Nephilim. Nephilim is a story from their earliest stories of kind of how the world became as it is. It's their founding myths. And there's this myth that says angels and women got together and had children. I know it sounds very Greek gods and stuff like that, but it's part of the Christian tradition. They had children, and they were giants called the Nephilim. And they ran havoc then, and so someone's saying there's giants, it's like, you know, the first thing you're like, ah, giants. I hate giants. There's giants there. But the thing that's most important, the thing that's going to tie this story to my first story is this. The spies say this. And the Hebrew is a little bit awkward, so I'm going to say it first and then I'll translate it. The size of a grasshopper in our eyes is our size in the giant's eyes. We saw giants. And you know how small a grasshopper is when you look at it? That's what the giants thought of us. Now, they'd never met the giants. There's no indication that they've interacted. So where did they get this idea of what the giants thought of them? Where did they get this idea that the giants thought of us as, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk? You're puny little humans. I could eat you. I think they made it up. They thought that the giants thought that they were puny. See that? When you look at that woman who's lining herself up in a lineup of women, and she shows herself 30 to 40 pounds heavier than she is, what do you think she's doing? Do you think she's just that blissfully unaware? Is her mental image completely shot? Has she never looked at herself in the mirror? Or does she think that we think this is the size she is? It's a bit scary, isn't it? Because how often do we think that somebody else thinks something about us? You run into someone, take whatever thing that they have, successful, intelligent, educated, attractive, fill in whatever blank you want. You run into them, what are you thinking? You're thinking about what they think about your insecurities, aren't you? They're smarter than I am. They have a better job than I have. Oh, man, they are just a better parent. Their kids are in everything. For all we know, they're dealing with their own crap, aren't they? No, but that's not what we're thinking. We think that we know what they think about us. Just like the spies thought that they knew what the giants thought about them. That woman, what she thought we think about her, became her reality. She was living 30 to 40 pounds heavier than she actually was. It's a bit scary when you think about it that way, isn't it? The issue isn't what we think about us. The issue isn't even what other people think about us. It's what we think that they think about us that shapes who we think we are. That shapes how we live in this world. It's interesting. We all have an area that this seems to hit us on, isn't it? Don't we? One person can say, size, who cares? But man, how smart I am, how educated I am, how successful I am, my past, my present, my future. We have any number of things that we think that other people think something about us about, don't we? And that shapes who we are. It was so bad that it actually stopped the entire nation. They lived their entire lives waiting for this land. They called it the Promised Land. They've waited forever, for generations. Now they are standing on the banks of the river looking over saying, it's right there. But we think that they think that we're weak and powerless and puny. When I started working on this message, I thought to myself, man, I don't know if this one fits for me. That was about a 4-second thought. You see, I'm a tall, skinny guy. And for some of people who are heavier, they look at me and think, oh, I wish. But for me, being skinny and small, it's been hard. And I think that people think certain things about my size. So I did a test a while ago. I was with somebody I trusted. And whenever I saw somebody who fit my mental image of me, I'd point them out and say, do I look like that person? Do I look like that person? Do I look like that person? I'm guessing you all know where this is going. How often do you think I was accurate to my physical size in this world? Every time the person would be like, no. Why would you think that? That person? No. You see, the size that I thought, that people thought I was, became the size that I lived. Became who I was. It's the mental picture of me. It was wrong. How often is our mental perception, the one that's created by what we think others think of us, how often is it accurate? Again, it might not be size, but pick whatever yours is. The children of Israel and the spies, it was their physical might, their military prowess. And they thought that the giants thought that we'll crush those guys, no problem. And in the end, they gave up. They quit. An entire generation was left standing on this side of the river, looking over at what they could have. But their mental image created by what they thought others thought of them was so powerful that they never got there. In fact, Numbers starts with a census where they measure or they count the people. It ends with a census. And the census, the second census seems to suggest this. Not one of that generation made it across that river to the Promised Land. Not one. Now I take the Bible as spiritual wisdom. So when I look at it, I don't look at history. I look at a warning for us. How many of us are being kept out of the Promised Land, whatever that looks like for us, because of what we think others think of us? The mental image that's created by that. Whether it's we think, you know, I didn't get the deal at work, it's because they don't like me. I didn't get into the program I wanted at school, it's because I'm not smart enough, I'm dumb. The person broke up with me because I'm not beautiful, I'm not attractive, I'm not successful. My kids are struggling because I'm a bad parent. That's what I think others think of me. That becomes me, right? So how do we fix this? How do we overcome this? We can do the first one. Find someone you trust and ask their opinion. You can do that. It is a bit awkward. You walk up to someone, do you like me? Now, think about that. If they say no, that's like your worst nightmare, right? And if they say yes, now they think you're an idiot for doubting that you liked them in the first place. So really, this is a lose-lose. I don't recommend. Well, if you can, it's a great one. But even now, I hope you're starting to hear that voice. The voice of that woman who weighs herself 30 to 40 pounds heavier. The voice of the children of Israel saying, no, no, we're too puny. We can't do this. You're starting to hear that voice and going, wait a second. What if that's not me? What if that's not true? How would your life be different if you stopped living with those voices running the show? There's this thing in traditional theism that I've seen play out most of my life. It's this idea that there's somebody out there that loves you and knows you like better than you know yourself, and loves everything about you. It's this idea that they create around the concept of God. I've watched it my whole life. People feeling such deep sense of, I can be who I am because God sees me and loves me. Now some of you, you've been able to tie into that and find strength and peace and even kind of a mental hack away from this sense of somebody else is going to create my value. And some of you, this whole idea of something more, this for you, mental construct, for me, mental construct, and somehow I'm going to describe some characteristic to a mental construct that suddenly makes me feel better about myself. You see how that's kind of a bit circular? But what if your concept of God or more, whatever, however you talk about that, what if there was a part of that that saw you and loved you just the way you are right now? Would that help change that mental image away from what we think others think of us? I don't know if that works for you. I find that one really hard, but I'm working at it. Regardless, today I hope that we can learn from the spies of the children of Israel. We can see the ramifications of how our thinking of what somebody else is thinking about us, not even our thoughts about us, not even their thoughts, but what we think their thoughts about us are, has so much painful power in our lives. I hope you can see that. This message started by me reading a midrash. For those of you who don't know what a midrash is, in Jewish circles, there's the Old Testament, and then there's stories or teachings from the New Testament or Old Testament. They call them midrash. It's the way you wrestle with the text. It's the way you push it and push it into your lives and struggle with it. They're beautiful. And I read this one midrash, and that's what inspired this whole thing. It said this: the spies said, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. God says, this I can overlook. But God said, then the spies said, and we looked like grasshoppers in their eyes. And God says, here I am angry. How did you know, did you know how I made you look in their eyes? Who told you you didn't look like angels in their eyes? So I'm going to leave you today with this. How do you know that you're not an angel in that very part of your life that you think is so negative? Today I want us all to live like angels. I want us to see ourselves for who we truly are and love who we are. And leave behind this idea that what we think somebody else thinks of us has power. Can we live as angels today? Have a great week, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. And remember, war and invasion next week, you got to come back. Jeff's going to kill it. Have a great week, everybody.